The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Welcome to episode 116 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host, and today on the show we have Tyler from Tyrific Detailing. Did I say that right, Tyler?
You did. Good job.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is a great opportunity.
And I appreciate you taking time out of your day on New Year's Day as we record this to stop and take a break and do this. I appreciate it.
No worries, man. Thank you for the again for the opportunity. I'm excited.
So what, you know, we've talked on the phone for a few hours, actually, previous to us recording this episode. But really what, you know, you became more fascinating to me the more I got to know you. And that's really what I want to talk about today, how you kind of your mobile detailer in Texas. And we'll get into that. But I really want to talk about your mobile setup. And then what really sent me over the edge was it's probably a week or two now ago, maybe even more than that. You did a $600 headlight restoration. And what's funny is you're also a part of the Mobile Auto Detailing Academy. And a thread in our private Facebook group just got brought up about headlight restoration. And guys are talking, oh, man, I'm having a hard time, you know, at $100 a pair and blah, 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 blah. And then you post something about a $600 headlight restoration. I'm like, what the heck? All right, that's it. I got to get this guy on the show.
It didn't start that way.
Right.
We got to that point.
So let's go back to the beginning then. How did you get started into the detailing industry? Where was there an initial moment when you knew that you wanted to start your own detailing business? Or take us way back and let's start at the beginning.
Sure, no problem. You know, I think I sent you a picture a long time ago that my mom had sent me of a birthday list I made when I was a very little kid. Mm-hmm. I was probably 7 or 8, maybe 10. I don't even remember. But the first thing on the list was really good wax. Mm-hmm. The second thing was towels to remove wax. And the third thing was a bucket. So I guess that's where I started. That's where I got, I guess, obsessed with it for my own cars. I never really took anything serious until people started noticing my car, you know, and then one thing kind of led to another. Said, hey, can you do my car? Can you do my friend's car? And then they start referring people, and then here we are. I didn't really start to take it serious until about 3 years ago, maybe. And at that point, I really started to focus on making money as well as spending money, because a lot of this stuff gets pretty expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it has a you know, what do they call a low startup cost, mm-hmm. once you start getting more advanced, that low startup tends to go away a little bit. but that's really it. You know, I've done a lot of work with the lowered car scene, or the stanced car scene, I guess you could say. And that's kind of where I've tried to position myself. That and, I guess, to the higher end. But I also won't turn away a, vomit job on a minivan. So it doesn't matter.
Is that what you did today?
Not yet. No, okay. Got the call. I can't wait.
Oh, my favorite vomit calls. I tell every vomit call I get, I said, the only thing I don't do is clean up chunks. You take care of the chunks, I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to be expecting.
So what was your first car that you really started to dial in? Obviously, I think I'm looking for the picture right now of you, because you did send it to me when you were little, or that list. Can't seem to find it. But what was the first car you really started to kind of get into detailing yourself?
For me, you mean? Or like
my own? Your own car.
My first car that I really started to like get into it, you know, my first car was a Ford Escort station wagon. Let's not talk about that. my car that I really grew with me would be my first Volkswagen Golf. It was a Mark III. It was white. When I bought it, man, it had sat under a tree for a year, like an oak tree or something. I clayed it like six times, man. I was claying until my knuckles were bleeding. And just that transformation and how fast that, you know, I was able to turn that car around really is what got me excited. And, you know, honestly, like my first client, like paying client really came from that car. Wow. Just because my neighbors were outside seeing me work on it.
Right. Quick side note. I found the picture. It says, happy birthday for Tyler. This is the picture he sent me.
Yeah.
And you have four things on the list that you wanted. Number one was a bucket. Number two was a car wash. So I don't know if you wanted like your parents to buy you a car wash or what that was. Number three is really good wax. And you put Zamal wax or Turtle. So you even had, you know, preferences. That's good.
Yeah, at seven.
And then number four was rags I can use with it.
That's awesome.
What I love about your kind of journey and your startup is it really resembles mine too. Just kind of a, you know, passion for taking care of my own car. And I got into it with a buddy who was, he was actually the one who really was taking care of his car and kind of getting into all these different products and stuff like that. And actually, that's funny. One of his favorites was Zamal, or however you say it. I kind of caught on to that too. And so we kind of used it as a thing we did, not together, that sounds kind of weird, but as a thing we would do on the weekends is clean our own cars and kind of compare cars and stuff like that. And that's how my own business kind of morphed from that too. So tell us about where your company is now then, or when did you decide that you wanted to start your own business?
I was living in Austin, Texas. And there was a guy down there who's mobile, and he had a phenomenal van set up, and it was all wrapped in graphics. And I saw him one day on my way home from my day job, and I was like, I've got to start taking this seriously. So it was about 3 years ago. That was the moment for me. I'm just driving home from work, and I still do have that day job where I do drive home. Well, not really. I walk home. I actually live where I work. Yeah, I mean, that's really what was the turning point for me is I need to take this seriously because I do love it and this is what I want to do.
So you just kind of saw another guy actually doing it and you could do what he was doing and you wanted that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So tell everyone you're a mobile detailer.
Mm-hmm.
You're also a waterless mobile detailer, right?
Most of the time. Okay. It's funny because everybody – I don't like to just classify myself as I'm this or I'm that. You know, if you want to bring your car to me, I have a very set-up garage, a very set-up location to do it. I also have a couple shops that I work with where I detail at their shops. I guess I would be mobile at that point, but I can also book clients to that location. Mm. So, you know, when I was booking a job recently, they said, well, are you mobile? And I said, I'm whatever you need me to be. And that's exactly the truth. You know, if you want me to come to you, I will. If you want to bring your car to me, that's fine. Now, that varies on the services that are being provided. If I'm going to polish a car, I prefer to be with my lights. And, you know, when you get into the higher end stuff, I do like to be where I'm, you know, most comfortable, which is where you have everything at your fingertips. The waterless thing for me, with all these new wash methods and, you know, rinseless washes and all that stuff, that really just happened because I thought it was cool. Well, then I started seeing better results with those sorts of washes. And, you know, sometimes I do have to drag out a hose, which is a nightmare. But it's still fun to spray off wheels and brakes when they're super dirty. So,
yeah. You know, what's funny is I've been a pressure washer, water tank detailer my whole career. And before that, obviously a hose and a bucket,
yeah.
Water hose or a garden hose. But I just recently, I did dabble in some waterless car washing stuff and it was cool, but I was the opposite. I wasn't really seeing better results with it. The results were about the same, and it was just taking me way longer, which I kind of I blame that on myself, not necessarily on the product. I just wasn't educated about the product. And then recently I started doing the whole rinseless wash thing because I thought it was fascinating. I would say I'm about 85% rinseless now. And like you said, every time I got to pull out the hose, I'm like, ugh.
I mean, don't you love when you like pull up and you're like, thank God I can wash it with a rinseless wash.
I'm like, I could go anywhere now. I still have a really big issue with the city that I live in and happen to do a majority of the work in. And that whole issue and whole conflict with them is because of runoff.
Sure.
And you know, recently I've just been thinking, I'm like, I'm never going to have to worry about that anymore. And there's nothing they can do to me because I have no runoff.
No, there's nothing better than waving at a city official as they drive by. Because yeah. Usually you're hiding. But it's the greatest thing to just like, hey, you know.
And I happen to live right next door to my town city hall. So I feel like they just have like binoculars, you know, looking at me all the time.
Just a camera pointed at me.
And I've actually come out and they've been taking pictures of my van and trying to tell me I'm illegally parked and all this nightmare. So they're out for the holiday break and stuff, but I can't wait. I'm going to next week sometime. And this is probably why I have issues, because I stir up stuff like this. But I'm planning on doing a rinseless wash on my wife's car. In front of City Hall, they have like a 24-minute parking zone right in front, and I'm planning on doing a rinseless wash.
So you should get like a big timer and set it up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about recording it, like setting up my phone or something on a tripod with a clock, and like, you know, I don't know, just to, but that's probably why I'm in trouble with them. Anyway, that's a huge tangent that I have no idea why, but anyway, so you're whatever the customer needs you to be. And I love that because it's kind of like the same thing with marketing. Like, what's the best marketing plan? Well, as much as you could do, because you never know how a customer is going to find you. And kind of the same thing with what you're doing. You're like, well, I could be mobile. I could do it at my house. I could do it at a shop. And it just opens up so many different avenues for flexibility with your customers and kind of even separating you from the rest of your competition. I love that.
Yeah, you know, I think, especially for me too, I just, you know, recently purchased another car, and I was really debating, do I want to get a van and set up a van, because that's cool. Nothing wrong with driving around a billboard.
Not really. I drive one. It's not. There's nothing cool about a Chevy Express.
But
besides the billboard.
Exactly. So, I mean, and that was a big fight, you know, for me. Like, do I want to drive a billboard around? Yes, I do when I'm going to detail, but do I want to drive a billboard when I'm going to the Walmart, you know? No, I don't, which I guess still wouldn't even be a bad idea. But I chose to go with a different route since I do a lot of rinseless stuff. I chose a Volkswagen Rabbit.
Two-door.
And, huh?
Two-door.
Two-door, yeah.
You didn't even go for the four-door.
No. I wanted to fully commit myself to that. yeah, so there's no messing around now. Now I pretty much have to be rinseless, and I, you know, I do have a small pressure washer that I can bring with me if I need to, but for the most part, I never do. But I think for me, that was a big catalyst for business. You know, I deal with a lot of modified cars. You know, if you look on my Instagram, you can see all that stuff, and you can see those cars that are mostly an inch off the ground, if that. Which, by the way, gets old after a while, but it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is into slammed cars, and he can't even get the stupid car up the driveway. I'm like, yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, we can't go get food in my car. I can't make it over to the speed bumps in that parking lot. And I'm like,
I had a guy from a car team here called Team Nemesis drop off his S2000 for a paint correction, and he couldn't even pull into my garage. He had to back it in, otherwise he'd rip his front lip off, you know? So I think that's hilarious. But for me, with regard to that, those guys see my car with really good paint and modified. I feel like there's a trust level. Oh, hey, he drives a lowered car. He won't ruin my car, you know, because he understands the limitations of a lowered vehicle. You know, if I ever do have to move it, he understands working on a stanced car or a modified car. So I feel like there's a big trust thing there, too, with people.
I think it's, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, that's brilliant, because you're separating yourself from every other detailer, right? Or maybe not every other detailer, but the basic detailer. And that's kind of something that's been really playing in my brain lately too. I'm actually debating whether I want to try and open up a fixed location shop, or I'm looking at a Sprinter van, like a blacked out Sprinter van. Because everyone around me in my area, if they are a mobile detailer, they're either in a Chevy Astro van or a Chevy Express. So I'm like, I'm just blending in, you know, instead of standing out. And what I think as a detailer, all of us need to be thinking, how can we stand out and be recognized to the general public versus another detailer? And by doing that, you can almost command more money per service, because you stand out and you have a difference. There's something different about you than every other detailer. And for you, being part of that culture, in the lowered car and modified car culture, like you said, if someone else is in that culture with a lowered car, why would they risk it with a guy just driving around in a van?
Exactly.
He may not know all the reasons that you just talked about, but they're going to pick you. You know, and those guys who are dropping tons of money on modifying their car aren't going to worry about spending another couple hundred bucks to get it detailed.
No, and sometimes they do. You'd be surprised. Yeah. But
that's everyone, I guess.
Right? Yeah. You know, it's funny to me. I'll go to a car shows and be like, this guy has $5,000 wheels and his paint looks like it got dragged down the road in Vietnam. Like, I do not understand it. But, you know, if I can convince that guy to bring me his car, then it was all worth it, I guess. Plus, I've always loved Volkswagens for the longest time, and I just, man, it's been a great thing. It's worked out very well so far.
You know, it's funny. There's a guy, or I was just walking down the street with my little girl this morning, and we walked by this surf shop, and this guy was getting racks for the top of his car, and I just, walking by, happened to overhear them talking about the price of the racks, and they were like $125 or something like that. And the guy that owned the car was like, oh, that's not bad. That's actually a really good price. And I thought, man, even at $125, how many people balk at like a wash and a wax or a wash and a sealant for $125? Like, they go crying, you know, yet they'll spend $125 on some surf racks.
Yeah. That's exactly.
It's just crazy. So what is your setup inside your car look like?
You know, on the days where I am mobile, it's three buckets. It's it depends on the job too. Cause I have the way I work with that is I have a stock of everything at my, I guess, shop or garage or whatever you want to call it. Mm. And then I have stuff that I specifically take with me to do mobile stuff. And that's where we get to that separation between, if it's this level of service, I'm not going to do it mobile. And if it is, then I'll take this other stuff. So everything's kind of pre-set up. I have the rinseless stuff. I have the buckets, you know, a ton of towels, because that's the name of the game when it's rinseless. Yeah. But it's literally three buckets, a carry-all kind of like handled little container, you know, that you think of like a shower caddy when you're in college, I guess, mm-hmm. but a larger version of that, and a Metrovac, depending on the job again. And that Metrovac allows me to blow the inside of the car without a compressor. And it also allows me to vacuum the car. So I've eliminated another product. Now at home, I do have a compressor and all that stuff, which is way better to, you know, for, I love using that. Maybe just cause I bought it and it's loud and I'm a, you know,
you're like, it's loud. It must work really good.
Yeah, it's really working. Yeah. But it's a very simple setup. And, it works. That's it.
Right. You know, that's another good point that you bring up, is that it works. And I think sometimes we can get so caught up in having all this equipment. And it's like, do you really need all this equipment? Like, it's just funny because I'm going through this right now with my own setup. And, you know, I have a Chevy Express van, the whole back. I got two seats in it, which is great because I'd never have to drive anyone. But the whole back of it is filled with stuff. And I'm like, do I really need all this stuff? Or is there, you know, can I figure out stuff to, like, you know, multiple uses for one piece of equipment, you know?
Sure.
So I think that's smart. So do you think that your setup and kind of it being so different is a real catalyst in getting more work for you?
Yeah, I do. You know, and here's a perfect example. I was polishing a car at SCW Performance. I'll give them a little shout out there. How about that?
That one's on me. Go ahead. Just kidding.
And there was a guy, a customer there of his. I was polishing a car for the owner, and there was a customer there of his who was having part of his car vinyl wrapped, which is a service, I guess, that they offer. And he was like, hey, come look at this. And I'm like, you know, I'm working on a car. Stop. Come over. He had, like, you know, black dots all over the back of his Ford Focus. And I'm like, do you have a catalytic converter? And he's like, no.
Yeah, little problem.
Because it's a, you know, it'll make the car faster. Why not? And it was shooting out like charcoal soot or something, you know, from the exhaust. And it was embedding itself just horribly into his paint. And I was like, you know what? You should get a, you know, have me polish what I can of the car and then get a coating. And he did. And it took me literally 3 minutes to do that and to talk to that customer and get that, you know, money. And he was super excited. And I've never had someone book an appointment that fast in my entire life.
Right.
He was just so sick of having to, you know, scrub those dots off, those little like marks off that he booked in 3 seconds. It was amazing.
Wow. That's nice. It's like, I guess it comes down to how bad is the need or the want for the customer. And then if you can recognize that, it's like pretty much sky's the limit on how much you could charge and what you could do.
Yeah. You know, and then I showed him when he picked his car up for me, I was able to show him because after polishing and coating, I don't want him to scratch it all up. I showed him a more simple way to remove that stuff. I actually sold him some waterless wash products and some towels.
Wow. What a sale.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the greatest day ever that day.
You're like, I could do this every day.
Right? I wanted to go to work the next day and quit.
I bet. Good thing you didn't. Well,
I know.
Then you had the next day and you had no work, so you went back to your full-time job. Which, by the way, we just had Claude on the show. I don't know if you got to watch that episode, listen to it. But gosh, the more I thought about his interview after the fact, and I knew we were recording this episode coming up, and knowing that you, I don't like to say detail on the side, but you have another stream of income in addition to detailing. For a guy just starting out or that isn't swamped with work or anything like that, I just think it is such an ideal way to start. It just gives you so much more flexibility, so much more freedom. You know, I think back to when I started and granted I was still living at home and didn't really have many bills, but I just kind of started cold turkey with nothing. I kept a side job for about 6 months, but I started cold turkey. And when you're in that situation where you just need money, you'll do anything. And, you know, it gets you down to do those really, really cheap car washes and really, really cheap details just because you need the money so bad.
Yeah.
And then you get stuck in that rut. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No. I was going to interrupt. I shouldn't do that. No, continue.
No, go ahead. I feel like I've been talking way too much.
No, I feel like, and I called you about something, you know, when that company called me and I called you.
We could say Amazon called you.
Yeah, I didn't know if I could. So Amazon calls me.
This is my show, dang it.
They call me and they want me to come out there and wash a bunch of cars. And I'm not a car wash. And I wanted the money and I wanted that recognition. But at the end of the day, I'm not a – you know, I am a car wash, but I'm not a car wash. I don't know how to explain that, but it just wouldn't have worked. And if I wasn't – if I didn't have a full-time like day gig, you know, day job, then I would have jumped on that like nobody's business.
Right.
But I've never been the guy who goes and washes 8 cars in one day or 12 cars or 15 cars. I don't know if I'm way too, I don't know. It's hard for me to like miss something and know that I missed it even though they're not paying for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and nothing against Amazon. I freaking love Amazon. But what we talked about was, what is your model? What type of detailer do you want to be? Because there's nothing wrong with being that guy that goes and washes 8, 10 cars a day. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's not what the type of detailer you want to be, you can't get sucked into that. And it's hard because you feel like you're leaving money on the table.
Yes.
You know, but from my point of view, I've been that guy. Like, the most cars I've ever done in a day by myself was 20.
My goodness.
So I've been that guy that's done the cheaper car washes. And honestly, that's a tough game to do. Long term, especially. And it's a tough gig to get out of. You know, so that took a lot of, you know, that was good on your end to say no to it, or to kind of, you know, pass it up, because it is money on the table. And for some people, they're going to need to do it. But once you get into that, it's really hard to get out of that. And those, you know, if you start doing $15, $20 car washes, those are some of the pickiest customers you'll ever have.
Yeah, you know, for $15, I said I'll spray your car with a hose.
Right.
But that's pretty much it. You know, it's a different game for me.
Totally.
You know, and that's only because I clock in every day, you know, and exactly. Work for somebody else. So, and you know, it's that also, though it is, we'll call it the golden handcuff, if you will, like you said, it's also not, you know, it's also brought in a lot of business because I'm talking to people that I wouldn't just randomly speak to.
Right.
They're coming to me for something else, and then it just gets mentioned.
Right.
You know, they may not, you know, I may not sell them at work there, but I might sell them at work here, you know,
right.
So.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, just as, you know, some parts of the country or some parts of the world deal with harsher climates or harsher seasons than maybe you or I deal with. I don't know what your climate's like there year-round. But, you know, having multiple streams of income is the most ideal thing you can do for yourself. Now, if you are a full-time detailer, other streams of income may be odor removal, window tinting, dent repair, even if you sub all that stuff out. But having multiple streams of income, as I found out this year with my business personally, is the only way to set yourself up for success. And like you're doing, and like Claude and so many other guys are doing, you have this full-time income, so you're not completely relied on your detailing income, which in turn makes you more valuable because you have less time to detail cars. Thus, you could charge more. I don't know. I feel like it's a win-win-win.
And Claude's podcast was wonderful, and he said some stuff in there that, you know, I could relate to, where he's like, you're going to be tired. You know, you're exhausted. And sometimes I'm exhausted, and sometimes I'm frustrated because I don't have anything booked, you know? So it's
–
but looking at it from that perspective, and it is New Year's Day, I do have a resolution this year. I would like to really start to take it seriously and really try and build a client base that's committed to me, knowing that I can – walk away from the 9 to 5, and that it's tough finding someone. You know, I may have a high commitment level to everybody because they're could potentially give me money,
right?
But what's their level to me? And that's what I'm trying to you know, work out. I need to find those customers or those businesses or whatever that have a, you know, a high commitment level to
right. Yeah, and obviously you can't work 40 hours a week somewhere else and start your own business forever. Somehow Claude's managed to do that working graveyard shifts, which I think's insane, but he's doing it and he's rocking it and he loves it. And man, that guy is awesome. Claude, if you're listening, just what an awesome interview you gave. But you know, it depends what your goals are, you know, and I just think having another avenue, another stream of income, just is, like you're doing, it just enables you to start your business and grow it on the right foot. You know, so you can grow small, steady, and with that higher end work.
Yeah.
I think it's an awesome way to start.
You know, and I was talking to my dad about it, you know, who's works in big business, you know, he's in the produce industry and, you know, deals with millions and millions of dollars for companies. And he's like, I think it's totally feasible, but you've got to find the people and or the companies or whatever it is.
Right.
That really, you know, will build your client base. You know, that one detail may lead to four, or that
right.
those lead to 10 or whatever. And he's like, as long as you do that, you'll have no problem.
Right. And if you're finding that one customer that'll spend $400 with you and they're telling their friends how much they spent, their friends aren't going to expect to spend much less.
Yeah.
So it's a good circle to be in. So let's get into the fun stuff. How did all this lead to a $600 headlight restoration? Give us the backstory on it. Tell us how you got it, and let's kind of walk through it. And make sure you tell us about the gold fairy dust that you sprinkled into the coating on the lens.
So, I was on Facebook. I saw someone post something about their car, and complaining that the dealership was going to charge them $9,000 or something like that for new headlights. And I reached out to him. It was simple as that for me.
A mutual friend, or how did you find him on Facebook?
You know, I'm in that, again, within that car scene. A friend of mine had done work on his car. I put a stereo system in it and some things like that. And, while it was at his shop, I prepped it to give it back to the guy that I actually worked with, if that makes sense. Okay. So my buddy did a bunch of work on his car. I was his prep detailer, and I still am. I go out there and clean the cars up, and then he delivers them. And that allows me to put my card in a car that I wouldn't normally get to touch, Simple things like that. And then that guy followed me on Facebook, and I followed him, whatever. So he was complaining about that. I reached out to him. He said, yeah, can you come Monday? And this was like a Friday afternoon. I said, yeah, absolutely. So I'm super nervous all weekend because it's a Lamborghini Gallardo.
Yeah, just a car.
Yeah, and he's like, they're chipped and pitted. And I'm like, okay, well, normally I would charge, $75 for something like that. And I'm thinking, well, it's a supercar. I could probably charge $175. Mm. And I was committed to $175. I was like, that's what we're going to do. Even though I felt bad because going into it almost, that's a lot of money for a headlight restoration.
And did he tell you what type of headlight restoration it was? Because we're not talking yellowed, fogged headlights.
No, we're talking – he did. I always assume that the customer – and maybe I shouldn't – that the customer really doesn't know, because we've all heard it's not that bad. But this guy was telling me it's really bad. Mm. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. Nobody ever tells me it's really bad.
Right.
So I went out there, $175. I'm thinking I booked two other jobs that afternoon. Boy, was that a mistake. So,
I'll be there in an hour and it'll be fine.
So I thought, knock it out, sand it, whatever. And I thought I'd be able to start it, 2000 grit, something like that, some real light. Man, I ended up taking those lights, because of the pitting and chipping, down to 600. I think we were laughing about that. You're like, what? That's unbelievable. I would have to take it from 600 to 800, and I would really build it, because even if I got to a point where I thought I had all the pits out, I'd get it to a point where I polish it a little bit, and I'd be like, no, they'd still be there. And then it almost became a fight within myself. I was just going to polish them back as good as I could and give up. And I called my wonderful girl, Angela, and she's like, just stick it out. Keep trying stuff. And at that point, when she told me that, I called out to another friend of mine, Jay Ortega, who's out there near you. Super J Detail. He's a great guy.
Another free shout out. It's cool.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm throwing him out there like crazy. And he's one of my best friends.
It's awesome.
And he's a guy that knows what he's doing. And I feel like I can call him and not feel like an idiot, for asking a question that I may already know the answer to. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, take it to 600 if you have to. And I did. And he's like, try this and try that. And I tried all these different methods, and it started to work. And after 4 hours of being there, I started to get somewhere. There was so much sanding going on, and maybe it's, the wrong way. I have no idea, but it worked for me. I started to see the result, and I'd have to retape and take the tape off and read, because it'd get waterlogged or whatever. So I finished that job at 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And at the 4 hour mark, I said, okay, I'm charging him $300. I just missed out on all this other money.
Yeah. At what point did you call your other clients? I'm not going to be there today.
Yeah. Basically at lunch. I took a lunch break in the middle of a headlight restoration, which is not normal. And the only reason I took a lunch break is because I had to go get more sandpaper. I ran out.
I ran out of tape. I ran out of sandpaper. Good thing your buffer's not on a battery.
Yeah, right? You know, and I was so frustrated, man, and almost like disappointed with myself and felt bad that I was going to have to charge him that much, but I had to make it like where I'm there all day. I literally wasted a whole day. And so we get to the, and he comes out and he looks at it and he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, they look brand new. And that was a huge sigh of relief for me. And I'm thinking, cool, we're good with 300. So I go to, you know, charge him on his card with Square, which is a wonderful way to do that. You taught me that.
Cool. Love Square.
I do too, man. It's like, boom, it was in my account the next day.
Why you would ever, whatever. Yeah, I could go on a whole tangent about Square, but keep going.
So we'll wait until they're paying us.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Till they don't charge us those fees or whatever. So I said, you know, it'll be $150 per light. And I was like, $300 total. And he looks at me like, I'm crazy. And immediately I was like, oh, God.
Here we go.
Oh, no. You know, this is going to be the worst day ever for me. And he goes, $300? You should charge me at least $600 for that.
Oh my gosh.
I've never swiped a card so fast in my entire life. And it was funny because I had this like frustrating day, like the worst day ever almost. And that just like was the most amazing thing.
All changed in one second.
I drove home like smiling from ear to ear, like calling everybody I knew. I'm like, you're never going to believe this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And that was it. That's the $600 headlight restoration.
Wow. So why do you think that? Do you think because the rock chips and the pitting were just so deep and that's why it took so long?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when I would have to, like, you know, sand and then sand, you know, I'd go 600, 800. And if I tried to skip a step and I'd get to a point where I was polishing, I could still see the last step, you know. Wow. So I'd have to literally count up the scale all the way up to 3,000 to get it perfect. And, let's be honest. On a Camry, I'm not saying Camrys are bad cars, but the level of perfection,
right,
in my eyes – is lower because the car's not $200,000.
Right.
And this guy will notice because he bought a supercar, you know?
He notices everything.
Yeah. And so do I, you know? So, like, I did these, in my eyes, to the point of perfection. And he thought so too. And the reason it took that long is the 600 to the 800, you know, 1,000 or whatever. And then I'd have to polish. And then I'd see more pitting, and it was mostly chips. Like, so I had to go back and do it again. Start at 600, and nothing's worse than getting a headlight almost perfect and then ripping into it again with 600 grit sandpaper.
And were you sanding by hand this whole time, or did you have any sort of, like,
I did it both. You know, I did both ways. On the edges, I'd have to go by hand just because I didn't want to, like...
Yeah.
Again, I can't afford to replace a fender on that car. Right. So I was like surgical with regard to that headlight restoration. Whereas I'm still surgical on others, but not, you know, shaking, holding the polisher. If I dropped that polisher on the car, I could afford to fix it on a Ford. On a car like that, I couldn't. So
yeah, you'd be out of business.
Yep, it'd be his new company. So that's it. And it was funny because I was literally at the lowest of lows that day, and then in 2 seconds, the highest of highs.
You know, that's the craziest part about owning your own business. And like we talked about before when we talked about this headlight restoration, is that you can be having, and you will have, the crappiest of days ever owning your own business, where you know, you're just telling yourself, like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm such an idiot. Or, like, really? I'm going to sand down to 600 again? Are you freaking kidding me? Like, it's been 28 million times that I've sanded it back down. Like, this is stupid. You know? And even at $300, you know, it's not a bad day. 6 hours, $300, not terrible. You know? But you would have been happy with it, and most people would have been happy with it, but you could still be telling yourself, like, man, $300, like... that's good, but still, $300, like, ouch. And then he comes out, like, boom, 600, and you're like, yeah, baby. Like,
and then immediately I was like, should have said 1,000.
Should have said 1,600, dang it. But, you know, go ahead.
A customer for life, I think, you know?
For sure. And, you know, to bring it full circle back to what we were talking about with finding that niche of people that are willing to spend the money, you know, that guy is going to brag to all his friends about how you not charged him so much money, but how you saved him so much money because he didn't have to go to the dealership and not only, you know, pay the extra. How much were new headlights going to cost?
$4,500 a piece.
Oh, my gosh. So $9,000. You know, not only did you save him, what is that, $8,400.
Yeah.
You know, but they came out perfect. And he didn't have to deal with all the dealership nightmare and all that that comes along with that. So, you know, to him, a small drop in the bucket, but he's going to tell all his friends how much money you saved him.
Yeah, and he, you know, and as far as like, from him telling his friends, before I even got back to my house, there was a post tagged on my Facebook page, on my, you know, like page, whatever it is. And he like left this glowing review and how much, you know, Tyler was, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not even home yet. And this is already done.
And so, he paid me $600.
Yo, this is fantastic. I didn't even pay him to do that. So, I mean, it's awesome when someone like that leaves a review, and it's awesome when somebody who paid not even close to that leaves a review.
Right.
But for to me, the simple fact that it was done by the time I got to my house, which isn't that far away, you know, that meant a lot to me. So hopefully other people can see that.
That's awesome. You know, I've never heard of someone being able to, you know, get $600 for a headlight restoration. And if you're listening and you have, shoot me an email. Let me know, because
me too.
That's Tyler too. Let him know. I mean, that's insane. So, hey, as we wrap up, what is one thing or two things or a few things, whatever, that are really exciting you about the future of the detailing industry?
Friends is my number one thing. The amount of awesome people that I've met since kind of starting to take this seriously is unbelievable. Mm. People that I've never met that feel like they're old friends, you know, people that I talk to every day. You know, local guys that I talk to. I mean, just that alone, being a part of this little club, I guess, if you want,
yeah,
feels, you know, really good. And that's exciting. Anytime you're a part of anything and you feel like it's growing and you're making it better together, feels cool. So that's the biggest thing I'm excited about. And, you know, the second thing I would say is I'm really looking forward to advancements in polishing and, you know, being able to slow the machine down and get, you know, top quality results and stuff like that. And that kind of kicks back to another podcast that you had. Like, you know, how does paint react and all that stuff. So new polishes and machines and all this stuff. That's really exciting for me.
Totally.
I guess that's it for now.
Yeah. You know, kind of the motivation behind starting this podcast and stuff like that was to try and create camaraderie in the industry. And, you know, when I first got started and I was telling people that, they're like, man, you're crazy. This industry's been wrecked forever. Like, there's so much drama, so much beef. But the more I interviewed people and the more I met people, like you were saying, and going to SEMA and interacting on Facebook and stuff, the more I realized the top-level guys are awesome. They don't want any drama. They don't want any beef. They don't want anything. They just want to be friends and kind of elevate the industry, you know. And it's these other guys that I don't know what their motivation is behind it, but they just like want to tear down the industry that they're trying to make a living in.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to me. And recently, I don't even know if I want to get into it, but I got some backlash from the podcast and stuff like that. And then I was talking to Scott Perkin about it. And he's like, man, don't even worry about it. He's like, you're doing great stuff for the industry and you're making friends and, you know, and I'm like, man, yeah, if all the guys could just band together that are actually cool and actually want to see other guys succeed, we can eventually push out the guys that suck. Their skills don't suck. Their attitude sucks.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's.
And something like I've noticed is that guys that I consider like the top dogs or whatever you want to call them, though there are some that do have time to make posts and stuff like that on forums or whatever, most of them don't. They don't have time.
Right.
Because they're busy being awesome. So
and actually making money.
Yeah. I don't have time to take, you know, 20 megapixel pictures with the DSLR and you know, I'm like, where did you even get those lights? Like, what are you doing?
You know what's funny? Is sorry. It's so funny you said that, because I did a, I think I posted it on my Facebook, and I did a little test with the Roops UHS system, which I think is phenomenal. But in doing it, I did it on like this black Acura, and I tried to take some like cool videos on my phone that didn't turn out so cool. But they ended up, they showed how much correction you could actually get from the Roops UHS system. And after I did it, I'm like, man, I just wasted like 30 minutes, you know, trying to, you know, taping the line to do the 50-50. And then, you know, all, and I'm like, this is such a waste of time. Like, to prove to people that, I don't know, that maybe aren't even my customers. You know what I mean? It was crazy.
Scott Perkins said something on a detail, or somebody, I don't, maybe it wasn't him, maybe it was Detailer's Helper. What's his name? I can't remember.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. He said something like, you have Instagram and that's great, but most people that are liking your pictures are other detailers.
Right.
And it's true. It is. That doesn't benefit me at all from a business perspective, right, like a customer gaining perspective. So that really like weighed a lot for me. And I'm really like, look, you know, making a lot of notes and going to kind of reattack my website and stuff like that. From that perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a balance, you know, because you do want to, I think the problem with the industry is it's so male dominated and we have a problem with egos, and that's not a, it's not always a bad thing. It's just when you start tearing other people down on a personal level that it's like, dude, come on, you're better than that, you know? So it's definitely a fine balance between, you know, taking time to show the 50-50 splits and not. And so anyway, if we could all just build each other up instead of trying to tear people down. The crazy part is, if you tear other detailers down, you're in essence tearing yourself down.
Yep.
Because we're all in the same industry together. So if we could build up everyone, it's only going to benefit everyone.
Yes.
Anyway, that's my own soapbox, so thanks for letting me get on that. If people want to get a hold of you, they're maybe in that car scene, tell us where you're located in the country. And if people want to get their car detailed by you, they want to start hanging out with the car clubs that you hang out, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, man, my cell phone number is the best way. Call or text me. I'll give that out if you want. It's 214-973-4499. You can email me, tyrificdetailing@gmail.com, or through my website, which it's all listed on there, which is tyrificdetailing.com.
Tyrific.
Yes, it's like it's almost to the point where if I see the word terrific, it looks weird. The actual word,
and that should be terrific.
Yeah, it should. They can, you know, get me on Facebook, and I, you know, I'm in far north Dallas. So,
okay. And you do travel?
Yes,
somewhat.
Yes, I mean, I'll go. Look, if they're willing to pay, I'll drive to Atlanta to detail their car. I don't care.
You live in Atlanta. All right, and I'll have all that linked up at autodetailingpodcast.com/tyrific. TYRIFFIC. Did I spell that right?
Yep.
Okay. autodetailingpodcast.com/tyrific. You can call him, text him, find his website, Facebook, all that good stuff. Just no naked pictures, right?
No.
I was listening to another podcast, and the guy gave out his cell phone, and he's like, yeah, I had a guy want me to send him naked pictures. I'm like, that's freaking weird.
I guess it depends who, and that's, we'll leave it at that.
All right. So with that, Tyler, again, thanks for coming on the show today. Thanks for taking time out of your holiday here and coming on with us.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com to read our full show notes, blog posts, updates, and even sign up for our newsletter so you can be the first to hear about the latest and greatest all things Auto Detailing Podcast. And don't forget, if you leave us a rating and review on iTunes, it'll help us reach other auto detailers just like you, and you may even get a shout out at the top of a future episode. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.